The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
All right, NAFTA podcast, we're back. It is episode 190. We had 189. Michael ran it yesterday. It's the OGs. It's Michael and myself on pod. Not the easiest thing in the world to try to get the fan groups on, as I've seen. So when we don't have them, you're going to have us for a double dip, which is kind of nice, dude. It's like back to the original days, you know?
Yeah, it's more relaxing. It's more, we can just be in our own little Whitaker world. Talking our shit.
The Tuckers stress you out?
Anybody not related to me that I don't have to like impress daily or like try to interact with stresses me out, yes.
So knowing that you don't care to impress me, let me ask the question. How did you like steer in the ship last pod?
Well, listen, I just want to, I've shown this so many times now, but I'm a person who needs to write stuff down. And I've never had a good way to do it. So I had this notebook and I had a whole run of show of what questions I was going to ask and things I was going to do. And within the first 15 minutes, it got completely fucked up. So then I just panicked. And then I was like, please, please take over again. Like, I don't want to do it anymore.
We should have safe words for each other, essentially, where it's like, John, I need you to run this, or Michael, please stop talking or start talking, essentially.
And I want what we say, like yesterday. I mean, I don't know if you see it on YouTube. You can maybe see me. I don't know how you cut it. But like sometimes when Nick says something or anybody. But for instance, yesterday, Nick, I want the reaction to be like the first time I'm hearing it. So I don't like necessarily having exactly what we're going to talk about and, you know, don't talk about this or bring up points. But then when Nick like asks six of my seven questions in his rant, then I was like, okay, well, now what am I going to do?
Yeah, definitely something I've toyed with, just because now if you're listening this again, I forgot to do this last pod. I got to start doing this every pod. Please subscribe, like, we are on, you know, wherever you buy your podcast. I know you don't buy them, relax. Wherever you get your YouTubes, we're on everything now. We cut up the content. There's a lot of stuff to interact with. There's a lot of things that we'd love to hear your comments on. If you make fun of us, I've resorted to just thumbs upping it and starring it and loving it, just because Michael had to get me out of a bad situation last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. But we're putting it out there. So yeah, real dark place. The internet sucks. So we're putting stuff out there. We want to hear your reaction. We want to get your feedback, et cetera, et cetera. But with me trying to be a little bit more thoughtful with how we do this, I do actually think the best way to do this pod is if everyone knows to run a show, which we still don't do. Like this, yeah. This pod is 100% raw dogged every week. Like it is 100% no plan whatsoever. And we're just up here spewing,
For worse or for worse,
definitely for worse. So did you like doing it or did you not?
I guess, you know, when you have like, it's just a thing where if you're, I don't know what type person I am, but if the type of person I am is like, if I imagine something in my head going a certain way and it doesn't go exactly how I want, I'm a little bit upset, but like, that's literally any, like the only person you control is yourself. So, you know, I came prepared. I think it would just, I needed to be a little bit more, assertive in like what we were going to do and asking the questions and take a little bit more control. But hey, you'll learn until next time I text you like 2 months later and go, hey, I want this one.
Yeah, I want the ball, coach, put me in. This has been the one season for sure, and I'd love to get Dylan and Nick's thoughts on this too, just because I'd love to see if they actually feel it. But we're all friends, obviously. I think when we first started, sometimes we'd be like, oh, I don't want to piss Dylan off, or I don't want to piss Michael off, or whatever. I think that we do a very, very good job of, you know, if we say something, it like there's no offense taken to it, obviously. But I've had to a few times just been like, all right, this is stupid. Let's move on this season. Or, all right, stop. Like, let's just like keep the conversation going. And don't ever feel like I'm pissing anyone off. So that's a good thing. You know,
I think we need to piss each other off more.
Yeah, probably. The clips would help. You know, it helped the clips. Speaking of the clips, one thing that we're going to try to do a little bit differently, especially if it's just me and Michael on this one, is, you know, Dudes of the Week, it's been a resounding success. It is always in our bottom 10% of views for every piece of content we put out. So, like, why not double down and do something very similar to it, but in a different vein? So I think we're going to try to get on this later in the week pod when we do it, a different type of gimmick, a different type of segment that we can have some fun with. And Michael, I know that you're the deepest on the internet. You're essentially our QAnon here, but not really QAnon.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah. just run with it. No. Run with it.
Okay.
And I know the internet loves tier lists now. Like, that is like a thing, right? Like, what tier are these teams in? I sound like old man right now.
Hold on, I will say it's definitely still a thing that people do. We missed the boat on it by about a year. Like, tier lists were like going crazy a year ago. They're still good right now. So just like us to be on the tail end, but
yeah, I figured that. I think that's our cruising altitude is 1 year behind, to be totally honest.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty on brand. So we're doing a tier list. Look, we have a consensus on five different tiers here. There may be a sixth that we have to talk our way through, but we're going to try to get each other on board, have a consensus of where these teams fall. The tiers are as follows. You obviously got your contenders, the teams that are vying to win the Premier League. We got in the hunt, the teams that probably aren't going to win the Premier League, but they're looking to get in Champions League. They're going to be in Europe, et cetera, et cetera. Next tier is it doesn't really matter. Shout out to Queen. You know, a little band out of England. Don't know if you know them, but doesn't really matter. Teams that are just showing up, you know, what are they actually here for? That type of thing. Tier four, it'd be a real shame. Teams we don't think are in the drop zone, in the relegation zone, but it'd be a real shame if they were in there. And then shout out to my friend group here in New York. There's a little saying we say all the time when we leave from a show called Kim's Convenience. I don't like the show, never really got into it, but we say it all the time. The relegation zone is called Okay, See You, and that's going to be our relegation zone. How you feeling on
this? Very good job. The two toughest ones are going to be 3 and 4, just because I don't know how to differentiate them, but I guess we'll talk through it.
We'll talk through it.
And maybe you can convince me.
And we can establish a sixth tier if we need to. I think the easiest one to start with is six is too many tiers?
Six is too many. We got to just stick with five. We got to make the hard decisions.
Yeah. All right. I think the easiest one to start with is OKCU.
Okay.
And let's just go bottom up. All right. Sheffield United, obviously.
For sure.
OKCU. Burnley, OKCU.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luton, OKCU.
Yes.
No tough decisions so far. What's an argument in your mind for Luton maybe getting to It's a Real Shame?
I mean, it's a real shame supposed to be I would like to see them stay up, because I would prefer somebody else went down.
There's no personal bias in this at all, I don't think. I think this is just strictly like, how do they get into that next tier where it's like they probably aren't going to go down, but it'd be a real shame if they did.
They're not.
They're
never going to be favored to not go down. They're always going to be favored to go down.
Home form aside, like, maybe if they sneak a couple wins in there, you don't think that can maybe get them flirting?
They're on nine points right now. I mean, you'd probably have to say, you know, I feel like you have to have a little bit of personal bias in this somewhat, because like, I don't want Burnley to go up, but like, they're on the same amount of points, very similar, like goals for, goals against, or not same, sorry, they're on eight, but you know, Burnley kind of runs the championship, and when they play Luton and Sheffield, they beat them. So like they're in those like critical games, they're going to be the ones who win. Or at least it seems like it. I just think those, unfortunately, those three are just, you know, unless something incredible happens like in January and they get somebody who can just revolutionize them, I don't think any of those teams are safe.
So I think too, and we're going to get into this here in a second, obviously, but like Everton's got 13, Nottingham Forest has got 14. I think in our minds too, the team they got to look to catch is Nottingham Forest, not Everton. Like Everton, I think, 100%. Is going to have a few more wins, right? So they're already 5 points off. Luton's out. I think Sheffield's dead in the water. Actually, I think they're the worst team. But like, is there a case for Burnley to go on a run?
I think they're the most talented of the three. But it's a little bit similar to, you know, you look at like Manchester United. And they individually, they have some players. What are they doing every week? You know, what are they, how are they scoring goals? They got 16. That's, you know, I think third or fourth bottom from the league. They've given up 34. That's up there for sure. They need to adapt a little bit to playing in the Prem. And they, you know, obviously crushed the championship. And I think company wanted to transition that over and kind of try to play the same way. It can't happen. And
yeah,
it's not happening for them right now. Like the beginning, like he's not even scraping by 2-2-12. He would have to like revolutionize how they play. And I think you'd have to sack company and bring somebody else in.
True. All right. Let's leave it at that. Anyone else you want to add to OKCU? You can't really.
Nottingham Forest.
Three teams. Well, you think Nottingham Forest is OKCU, not it'd be a real shame?
I'm kind of like flagging on them, to be honest. Like, I don't think, I like Steve Cooper a lot. I like some of the guys. I like the stories that like Hudson Odoi, Alanga, Morgan Gibbs-White, I like a lot. I just think them similarly, I don't think they will go down. I think it's pretty obvious, like the three worst teams, but I think that if for the sake of this tier list, they got to be in that category as like the top team in that category.
Okay. All right. So then how you're looking at it is instead of Forrest being in, it'd be a real shame. Forrest is lucky that there's three other people in OKCU and they get an OKCU, but like awkward double goodbye, probably gone next year.
Yeah. Unless something changes. But yeah, I think one of our commenters mentioned it. Very, very elegantly. Nottingham Forest are lucky there's three worst teams.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not mad with that because I knew Nottingham Forest would be where I wanted to start on it'd be a real shame. So
you're cool with them being bottom tier?
Yeah, I think they stink. I think any other year they're getting relegated. I think next year they're gonna get relegated because I think if you watch some of those teams in the championship, like Leicester, Ipswich, like I think they're already better than them, to be honest with you.
The switches.
Kind of. For sure. Yeah. So, all right. Sheffield, Burnley, Luton, Nottingham Forest. Okay, see you. Bottom tier. Michael, grab your first team. Who would you put in? It'd be a real shame.
I've written down, this is obviously not my list. So I would have to, like I said, make some tough decisions. The only team I have here is Crystal Palace.
You got Palace.
So I'm going to need your help to put some more teams there.
All right. Why is Palace not in OKCU while I think who else I'd put in there?
Because they're 2 points clear of Nottingham Forest, and Nottingham Forest are just worse than them. but other than that, I think they're Crystal Palace right now. The problem is they look really bad right now, like a point from the last five, right? That's terrible. They got you guys next, so not going to win that one, more than likely. They're going to get some wins that they're going to beat, like, West Ham. They're going to beat, like, Fulham, probably. They'll beat Brentford one game, and those will be games that, you know, a draw would be good. They're going to get a win, and they're going to stay up. They're going to always be in that 12, 13, 14. But right now, they look like they're also lucky that there's three worst teams, but I just kind of know their history and that they're not going to be there. So that's where I'm like, it'd be a shame if they went down because that's not where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. I think Palace is a more talented version of Burnley right now. They need an exorcism. And that exorcism is Hodgson. He needs to go. Love him. I love Company too. But I think it's just like they need rejuvenated and renewed exuberance in the managerial position there. I think that the problem is most of the teams that we would put in here at the moment are on a heater. And they're becoming like a darling for the pod, essentially. I'm going to buck that trend because I do think there's one other team that needs to go in there circumstantially. I think Fulham are in. It's a real shame. I know they've scored 10 goals in the past two games. I know they've scored 15 goals in the past four. I've also seen this team at the beginning of the year be
16.
I've seen this team be real bad at the beginning of the year, dude. Like real bad. And form is temporary. Class and talent are kind of forever in this still thing. I do think that they are going to start falling back from 10 that they're at right now to 13, 14. I think that's it'd be a real shame because they're not going to go down, but they're in that tier. How do you feel about that?
So I it's really tough because I kind of agree. Like they're literally in 10th. It just makes no sense. Especially what we've been seeing early on. And then also like back to, you know, form currently, like you want to put Fulham up because they're, you know, crushing it right now, but then Palace, you want to put down because they're so bad. They haven't, Eze's only played not in 9 games. Elise has been hurt. Like those are easily their two best players. You know, Andre Ayew, right? Is it Andre or Jordan? I always forget who is who.
I think.
Yeah, you're right. Jordan Ayew. Jordan Ayew has been, when Palace are doing well, he's a great asset. When they're not doing well, they need to get rid of him. He's just kind of like so Palace that it's crazy. So I do kind of agree. Like Fulham, I think we don't need to, we shouldn't be mesmerized right now that they're absolutely crushing it. Like good for them. They're in a great spot and they're safe as well. But I think that there's still some cracks in the armor there.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put I feel like Fulham should be. It'd be a real shame.
Yeah, I agree. I'm down with that.
All right, I got one other one.
Okay, I might have another one too.
It's just because of circumstance. I actually think they should be in. It doesn't really matter, but when you lose 10 points for no reason other than FFP and not because of form, like. You gotta be there. You're in 17th place. It's Everton. The talent on the field is, it doesn't really matter. The circumstance that they're in is, you know, it'd be a real shame.
All right. We're gonna have our first disagreement.
Okay.
Because I think this is the most it doesn't really matter Everton season ever. In the fact that because they've been deducted 10 points, probably not going to be 10 at the end of the day when they appeal it, which I think they're going to now because like they're so incredibly safe, doesn't matter. I think no matter if they would have got relegated this season, I think it would have been a shame for sure as somebody who relegated them preseason. And I just think like anywhere that they finish above relegation is like a great season. So I just think the season doesn't matter as long as they don't get relegated, and they're not going to get relegated. This is like the first in however many years, how bad it's been. This is the first uptick where like, fuck yeah, Everton. Like if you're an Everton fan, you're like, we're rocking right now and we look good. And
yeah.
I think that unlike Fulham and unlike Crystal Palace, there have been signs of this throughout the entire season. And I think that they are legitimately a mid-table team for sure.
All right. So if mine is Everton, you said you might have one. Who's your person that we might be putting in? It'd be a real shame.
I'm between two. Wolves and Bournemouth.
Yeah. Like I said, Bournemouth being a darling team right now because they're on a run. Go ahead.
I would lean towards Wolves.
Same.
I don't think they're going to go down, but I think that they're too inconsistent. I think they're always a tough game, but they wait till the end a lot. Injuries, I mean, they're going to get Neto back eventually. I just think how they play is not... I think they're still going to be fighting every game. I think that that mentality is always going to be there. So I think they're going to be a little bit like Crystal Palace. Obviously better, more well-drilled. I think the ceiling for Bournemouth is higher right now than it is for Wolves. But I just don't think you're going to get the consistency from Wolves either. So that's why I would think it would be harsh. I think they're the top of it. It'd be a real shame. But I think for the sake of not putting seven teams in one category, I would put them there.
I think it'd be really hard to not cash in on Neto in the winter if he's back and healthy and whatnot because of how good he is. I think it'd be kind of weird business not to do that. And therefore, it does give them a glaring hole in their like quality on their team. I point to them too, just because like they're usually pretty sound defensively. This season is the one year that I feel like they're not. And then their offense wasn't good at the beginning, but now it is. I just think that, you know, like you said, inconsistent. If I had to strip away jerseys, numbers, players, faces, et cetera, you just got to see how they perform, statistics, whatnot. Is there better talent on Bournemouth than there is on Wolves, in your opinion?
I think there is more. I'm gonna fucking opt out of this question. I think there's more consistent, good talent. I don't think there's somebody on Bournemouth that is as good as Neto.
Yeah.
At his best. I think Lamina is like a really good midfielder. I think Billing is also a very good midfielder. I think that there is not the bottom of Wolves that there is at Bournemouth.
Yeah. I mean, a pretty good example is they Wolves drew. Cunha's playing out of his mind right now, but like you got Solanke, you have Cook, you have Tavernier, you have Senesi, all who were on like team of the week this week. For the Premier League.
Yes, like, and Semenyo has been pretty good. Kluivert has been a good signing for them. And then I think that goes into, like, I love Gary O'Neill. I don't want to take a shot at Gary O'Neill, but I think Iraola is a process, or not a process, like a
system.
He's a system guy, and I think they figured it out now. Beginning of the season, they didn't, and they're figuring it out. And I think that it just elevates all those players a little bit more, where I think Wolves sometimes rely on an individual doing something.
Okay. So it'd be a real shame. I do think we'll stick with these three. I think it's Palace, it's Fulham, it's Wolves. And then there's a razor thin margin when we get into it doesn't really matter between Wolves and Bournemouth is where I'm feeling. And then above them, a little bit more comfortably, is Everton, in your opinion, then.
I think there's another team between Bournemouth and Everton.
So you think Everton's even more comfortably above Bournemouth? All right. Who's that team?
Brentford.
Now, it's interesting because the title of this section is called It Doesn't Really Matter, but I think each of these teams that we're going to put in It Doesn't Really Matter has an interesting storyline. Ivan Toney's on the team. Is this a... in the hunt, Brentford, do you think?
So I would say for sure, if Ivan Toney's on the team, they are knocking on the door of in the hunt. So they're in the hunt of in the hunt.
They're edging. Okay. We said the sixth category would be the edgelords.
They're the edgelords. I think Thomas Frank is a really good manager. I just see them losing games that I... Like, okay, 1-0 to Sheffield United. Again, I think anytime you're playing a team in the relegation zone, there's a little bit more motivation initially on that relegation team. Okay, you got to be able to nip that. And I know new manager bounce, all that stuff. They beat Luton, which is great. That game with Brighton was tough. I just don't see enough out of them. But then when you say that, they're still 23 goals, 22 against, plus one in 11th place. So, like, I don't know where to place them. I think this is just kind of like the Bermuda Triangle section.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think I do question. I'm like, man, Ivan Toney's really, really good. He's not playing. He's obviously their best player. I don't know if he has that type of impact, though. Like, I think that instead of an 11th on 19 points, they're an 11th on 21 points. That type of thing. Like, they've just kind of been inconsistent this year. And I think it is one of those sustaining years for them where it's like, all right, one more year in the Premier League means we have more money to actually implement this Thomas Frank system and get players that make sense and et cetera, et cetera. Like, I actually think that it's not the worst thing for them. All right. So
just one more point on them. Sorry. One more point on them. They'll lose that game to Sheffield United or that Brighton game or a home game to Crystal Palace that they probably should be winning. I don't know if they did. I'm just, for example, they play Aston Villa at home. I can see them getting up for this game, being really hard to break down and winning.
Yeah.
So I just don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, I totally agree. Bournemouth, Brentford, Everton. I'm putting Chelsea in here.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Like,
you have to strictly on the points. Like, they're not, like, quite literally just not in the hunt, period.
Yeah. I think it doesn't matter the season. I think they are Brentford, like you just said. They're going to beat a team that is frustrating. They're going to draw City. And then at home, they're going to lose to Nottingham Forest 1-0 somehow.
Yeah.
Like, it just shit like that will happen this season. Palace and them will be a good game or whatever, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But the difference is, like I just said about, it doesn't really matter for Brentford, and that being a good thing for them because that's one more year in the Premier League. They're a small club. They need the money. It doesn't really matter for Chelsea is the end of the world for a lot of Chelsea fans. So just different perspectives. Yeah, but you know what I mean?
So, and again, based on what I said last pod, like this tier three, this third tier is like the bottom for a quote unquote top six team. Cause like you're never going to be in trouble of getting relegated. Like that's just never going to happen for you. So like it is like the end of the world for them, but
yeah,
you know, have some perspective. There's Lutons and there's Sheffields everywhere.
Yep. We got 11 teams in right now. There's two more. One that I think is comfortably in, it doesn't really matter. And one that I think is like on the edge of, it doesn't really matter, and in the hunt. I'm sure you can guess these.
Before we say this, I just want to make a clarification. Can we change in the hunt to European football?
Yeah, we'll call it global entry.
Okay. So you know, obviously like for Spurs, they want to get top four, but that might not be the same thing for like one of the teams I know you're going to talk about, West Ham. Can West Ham still get European football?
I don't think so. The only way West Ham gets European football is if they win the Europa League.
They are what? Where are they at?
Ninth. 24 They're points.
Ninth. They just got battered by Fulham. So
yeah,
that's one part of it. And they got to get to seventh sixth is conference.
I think that they are seven is, I think that they are the best, it doesn't really matter team.
Who's your other one then?
No, they're the best. They're the last one. They're the best, it doesn't really matter.
I thought you said you had two.
Well, I think Brighton is on the edge where it's like, they're going to be in your definition here. They're going to be attempting to get into Europe. Like, I think they're above West Ham, which puts them in the hunt.
I got another team that you didn't even mention.
Who's that?
Manchester United.
They're in the hunt, though, for Europe, I think.
I think we said a while ago, getting completely knocked out is probably the best thing for them.
For sure.
So they can just focus on the Prem. So maybe that is like an actual boost in this case, in this tier list case. I think they're the 10th best team in the Prem right now.
I don't disagree with that. I think to that same point, West Ham are a victim of their own success, where I think they'd be more in the hunt if they weren't already in Europe type of thing. I think with them having to focus midweek has been really tough for them. Like same thing we did with Wolves, where it's like, I think Neto's going to go. So therefore, I think I think it's fair to put Wolves in It'd Be a Shame and not in It Doesn't Matter, because they kind of got to make some adjustments and do some things to bump up there. I think with them being out of Europe, I can see the foresight of them trying to get the sixth spot, trying to get the seventh spot. Like, I think United will be in the hunt.
Okay. So, since you gave me Wolves
mm-hmm.
previously,
mm-hmm.
I will concede United that is they're not in. It doesn't really matter. I just want to say 18 goals scored, one more than Luton and one more than Nottingham Forest.
They're not in. It doesn't really matter, but there's a little asterisk there. We're putting up the alarm bells on Man United. It may not matter.
I think it's so weird because like it's so obviously is like everything to that club, like from the administration down to be in the Champions League, to be in Europe in some way, shape or form. I think like on the field, the team epitomizes it doesn't really matter. Like, I don't care what I'm doing.
1,000%. I think there's three shocking stats. You mentioned one of them, 18 goals scored. The second stat is -3 goal differential. And then the third shocking stat is 0, which is how many draws they have, which I think is indicative of some of the problems, too.
I have another shocking stat, but I'll save it for okay. when we talk about
so
them in depth.
Let's say Man United's safe from It Doesn't Really Matter. Can we solidify West Ham's in It Doesn't Really Matter?
Yeah, I think that they'll have more good performances, but they'll also have performances where they lose 5-0 to Fulham. And I just I can't agree with that. So
best team in It Doesn't Really Matter. So It Doesn't Really Matter. Tier 3, Bournemouth, Brentford, Everton, Chelsea, West Ham in the hunt or global entry, trying to get into Europe. This is this tier. Let's start with Man United, because we just mentioned them. We'll put them in the hunt. My camera is an absolute atrocity right now. There we go. We mentioned Brighton. Tough year from them. I think they're a victim of their own success a little bit as well. De Zerbi sometimes good, sometimes shit. I think we can solidify them as in the hunt as well, correct?
For sure.
Tottenham and Newcastle are the two teams that I don't think it's going to be controversial. I actually feel like you and I both know they're not really contenders anymore.
I think Newcastle, no. I think they're too far behind right now. They're 11 off the top. I was also thinking about this the other day, just for Liverpool, like our away games in the top six are Arsenal. We still have to play away. We also have them at home and Manchester United. We've played you guys at home away. We've played and we got Villa too. I forgot towards the end of the season. We've played Spurs away, played Newcastle away. I think that if I remember, they have a little bit less generous schedule in terms of like those big games being away from home. And I think they've dropped too many points now and their injuries. Like it's all over the Premier League. I get it, but like it's really hampering them down. If they can go on a run now, that's going to save their chances. But as of right now, I don't think they're contenders. I think they're just in the hunt.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do think we're now at the time of the season where you look at those splits as to, especially with this year where we've like beaten the dead horse of it's really hard to win on the road. It's really hard to win on the road. The road games with the big teams that you have left are going to really matter. And you've always been key on looking at what's left. I think to your point, Newcastle's probably 11 points off. That's a lot of points to make up. I'm hoping they're playing, honestly, I think either right now or in a little bit here. I hope they get into the Conference League or Europa League. Newcastle. Yeah, I hope they get in the Europa League because I think they'll do some damage there. And I like them in Europe. I think it's a ton of fun that they made the Champions League this season. But I think they're honestly even too far off for Champions League, I think, at this point. I think they need to try to get in Europa League this year as well.
And I think, you know, I think Spurs are closer, which is the next. I know you're going to want to talk about them. I think Spurs are closer because I think their run of games coming up is a little bit easier. And then they're going to get Van de Ven. They're going to get Madison. They're probably going to try to make a move in January to bolster the team. I think they're going to get their guys back at a time where they're going to have some tougher games. So I wouldn't completely. I still have them in the hunt. I have them at top of in the hunt, pretty much. But, you know, if you're looking at just the statistics and stuff, Newcastle plus 12 goal difference, Tottenham plus 10, you might think, you know, Newcastle actually much better. But you got to remember, they beat the absolute piss out of Sheffield United. And the first game of the year was at 5-1 to Villa at home. So there's a little, there's a couple outliers there. And I know you could say, like, there's some outliers in a loss. You know, they lost Spurs 4-1. But I think those are two injury teams. Spurs also dealing with injuries. I think, you know, they're a little bit closer to like that plus five, plus six goal difference area, which is where I have them in this section.
Yeah. I got no problem with Tottenham in the hunt. I don't think they're a title contender. I do think you're not going to win every game when your guys get back either. And the fact that they got to play some tougher teams, they're going to be trying to get their legs under them, try to get the cohesion back. I got no problem with that. United, Brighton, Newcastle, Tottenham in the hunt. One more controversial point. Just question. We got to flirt with it. I'm a big advocate of Arsenal not being clutch, Arsenal not being able to finish, Arsenal not having the gene to close it out. They didn't do it last year until someone does it. I'm doubting Thomas for all you Roman Catholic raised kids out there. Like, show it, prove it to me, and then I'll believe it. With that said, it'd only be fair to kind of question if Aston Villa is pulling a big old Icarus right now, flying a little too close to the sun. Are they actually an in the hunt team masquerading as a contender right now?
So it's so this is what I'll ask. If we're doing this 2 weeks before, or a week before they play Arsenal and before they play Manchester City, what is our answer? Our answer is probably they're in the hunt. If they have a big week, then they're contender. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it's only fair based on that, that we say that they are a contender. They're in third. The statistics are, you know, are back them up. They're very close goal difference, goals for, as everybody else. Unai Emery is a really good coach. To combat your Arsenal point though, You only can prove that you've done it when you do it. And until you actually do it, and like you're saying, you're always going to be doubted until you do it. But there is a point where everyone's doubting you and you do succeed. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think you have to put them in here. I thought you were going to say like Arsenal shouldn't be because of the past. And I think they're definitely in. Yeah. But I think you have to put Villa in there based on this last week. Now, if they go in and lose to Brentford, then I think, you know, based on away form, how they are, no. But I think they're the bottom of this tier for sure.
So let me give the most white guy grabbed the mic from Best Buy and created a podcast, little anecdote here, answer type of thing. The biggest game for Aston Villa is going to be this next one. Because
it's like having a two-goal lead.
Yeah. Yeah, worst lead ever. You beat the treble winners. You beat the top of the table Arsenal. Now you got little Brentford, who we've said it doesn't really matter for them. And you're playing them. You got to beat them. And you got to just, it's kind of like the such the cliche answer, but they are one game at a time club right now. You got to take it one game at a time. You got to take it one game at a time.
Well, I think there was, I don't know if it was Yeah, I'm assuming it was McGinn because he's the captain. They banned using the T word title in the locker room. So I think they're already like gearing for we got to block everything out and just play, which is good. But
that's such an American sport thing to do. Like, yeah, I could hear someone in the NFL being like, "Don't mention Super Bowl. Don't mention title."
You know what's messed up though? Just that last thing on that point. That's such an American thing to do where like your captain will say that, but then people obviously will be like, you know, we could win it like in their private lives. I think that they would actually be like, yeah, we can't say that. Like, we're not allowed.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it. I think they're that bought in.
I could see Unai being real strict about it for sure.
Well, he said it, so I don't think he cares.
In the hunt, United, Brighton, Newcastle, Tottenham, our first contender being Aston Villa. We mentioned Arsenal. Let's start there. What needs to happen for them to win it this year? And don't just say they need more points than everyone else.
They need either Ivan Toney or Victor Osimhen in January.
Or Dom Solanke.
So while I think that is a great shout, I think... I love when the commenter disagrees with like 5% of what we say, but agrees with the other 95, but then just like hammers home that like, actually it was only 15 minutes that Villa were good, not 37. You know what I mean? Like, okay. You get what we're saying though. I do think that for where they are, if they were like 2 years behind, Solanke would be somebody that you bring in and you hope that he just like
blossoms,
takes off. Yeah. I don't think they're set up for him necessarily to just be a world beater. I think Toney and Osimhen are like pretty much guarantees. If they get one of them in January, I'm definitely scared that we have to play them three times in 40 days.
Okay, so you're sitting on, they got to buy someone. Do you truly think they don't have the facilities to win the title this year, big man?
Yeah. I don't think they're consistent enough offensively in open play.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they will be so close. I think defensively they're great. I think they will be right there all year. They leave it late too many times, which we've always said is either a sign that you're a great team or that you need to pick it up a little bit. You never know until you know. But I just think that as good as Nketiah, Jesus, Trossard, Saka even are, they need somebody who's just going to like live in the 6-yard box and put goals away.
Yeah. Normally a team that is at the top, let's go City so you can do Liverpool last. They're obviously contenders too. What do they need to do to bring it home again? Fourth time in a row.
Start playing midfielders where they're actually positioned. and Kevin De Bruyne needs to come back and be like 80 to 85% of what he is at peak.
As a Liverpool fan, still the most afraid of City?
Oh, yeah. Not even close.
Yeah. Okay. I do think so, too.
I'm afraid of... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that the pieces are there. I think that we're not deep enough this season, and that's killing us, but the pieces are there. And, like, it is literally I hate saying this because it's the opposite of the cliche of, like, a game at a time. Don't say the title word. Like, we literally can flip a switch and win 12 games in a row and then be, like, in the driver's seat.
And it doesn't look like it now, but you never do it now. You always do it towards the end. So I have a feeling that defense is going to figure it out and they're going to start not giving up goals, you know, for a couple weeks. I do think that a lot of stuff I'm listening to and hearing is people talking about De Bruyne coming back. And like once he's back, then, you know, all bets are off, and just taking for granted, like how difficult it is to come back from injury. And be exact, you know, not even just play and be contributing, but be the, you know, generational midfielder that you are in the Prem, one of the greatest to ever play in the Prem. You know, it's not going to be easy. And if he does it, it's going to be insane that he did that. So I would say like 80 to 85% De Bruyne is still good enough. But, you know, we saw he got hurt in that Champions League game, came back early in the season, got hurt again. You just fear that if he comes back and he's not 100%, he's going to get hurt again. And then I don't know what you guys are going
to
do.
I've been shouting this to anyone who will listen. And this will be a comment strictly for pretty much me and Nick, because we're old enough to not, I mean, Nick might've been alive, but I'm afraid that if when De Bruyne comes back and it's super successful, it's going to look more Kirk Gibson than anything else. It's going to be slower. It's going to be in a more stationary position, and it's going to be like quite literally pinging balls where they need to go. I think it's hard to come back from a leg injury and an injury where he sustained it, but to have multiple injuries over the course of a couple of years, he already wasn't the fastest. He already wasn't. I mean, he's one of the smartest players ever. So I think he'll be able to figure it out. But I agree. All right. And then our last one, your boys. What has to happen for you guys to bring home a title? Second for Klopp.
I think first and foremost, Alisson needs to play the whole season. The drop-off between him and Kelleher, I think Beans is good. I love Kelleher a lot. I think Alisson is just so much better that it, you know, doesn't matter. So he has to play. He has to play every match. I think the offense needs to basically be humming every game. In the past couple, it hasn't. I mean, I know we scored 4 against Fulham, but those were all insane goals. And then 3, we need to not invest so much in the Europa League until the very end, if we get there, and focus on the Premier League. And then on top of that, I still think watching that Crystal Palace game, watching that Fulham game, we need a legitimate defensive midfielder, because Palace were passing through us at times. I just think they need somebody that strikes fear in the midfield, and we don't have that right now.
We've talked about this before, and I don't want to get into it because I think you could do a whole like 20-minute pod on this, but like I don't think that's out there right now. Like I don't think you have
the guy for Benfica. I can't remember what his name is. There's two actually. There's a guy this year, but then like I think it's like Felipe Luis was mm-hmm. pretty good last year with Enzo Fernandez. Decore is out for the season. He was a big shout early on. Polina, I know there's reports that we're talking to him, but then Klopp today said that there's no intention of getting a DM or a center back in January. I think we just kind of talk in circles a lot. So I don't know for sure. Yeah. So I think there are guys out there. I just think we have always showed that if we really want somebody, we will put the money forward regardless of what it is. For instance, like Van Dijk and Alisson, you know, at the time those were astronomical amounts of money for those players, but they both turned out pretty fucking good. I just think that we're not gonna, unless like we're in a situation a couple years ago where we lost all the center backs, so we had to like bring in Ozan Kabak and Ben Davies. You know, we're not gonna just buy somebody to buy somebody. So it has to be the right fit. But that being said, I'm interested how you rank this specific category in teams.
Like who's the best?
Because we've always said like Tottenham are the top of in the hunt. So who's the bottom? I'm assuming it's Villa just because they're the new team.
Well, we're biased.
I think you have to be first.
Yeah, I we're gonna do it the same exact way. And we're biased because we know our team so well, and we also we legitimately don't think any other team is as good as ours. It'd be City, Liverpool, Arsenal, Villa. Villa's the new guys. They're 4th. Arsenal blew it and choke artists, in my opinion, in 3rd. Liverpool, I'm afraid of them, but I've beaten them before. 2nd, City in 1st because they've done it 3 times in a row, and they're trying to be the first team to ever do it 4 times in a row. So that's how I do it.
Yeah, I think I would agree. Everyone talks about our defensive frailties, which I do think we give up a lot of big chances. And I think that's why Alisson is so important, because he's so good at, you know, that one-on-one, making those big saves. Defensively, we have the same goals allowed as Arsenal does. And everyone talks about how great that defense is. And it is. It's incredibly good defense. They don't give up a lot of opportunities. I know they're on 33 goals. It's only 3 less than us. But I can't see like in a game how they're going to score consistently, especially against bigger teams. And at the end of the day, you got to score goals. Otherwise, it's just draws you're going to get. And that's not going to be enough. As I've seen for sure, like we've had less losses than you guys multiple times and lost the Prem because you guys don't draw as much as we did. So,
yeah, for sure. All right. Contenders, Liverpool, City, Arsenal, Villa in the hunt, United, Brighton, Newcastle, Tottenham. It doesn't really matter. Bournemouth, Brentford, Everton, Chelsea, West Ham. It'd be a real shame. Palace, Fulham, Wolves, and then OKCU, Luton, Burnley, Sheffield, Nottingham Forest. That is our tier list. Michael, we've gone on longer than we thought we were going to, but I thought it was a pretty good content, pretty good conversation there. Big game this week, game of the week, Liverpool, Manchester United. United is heading back to Anfield for the first time since their 7-0 whacking last season. You guys did split last year. United did beat you all at Trafford, Old Trafford. What are your predictions? Last two times, I know you're going to have better stats for this, and I think this was probably the set you had, but the last two games, you've outscored them 11-0 at Anfield.
First and foremost, last year, the 7-0, I was as nervous as I could be for this game. Because, you know, just how our season was going. The game at Old Trafford, I was so confident we would win, and then we lost 2-1. And that's kind of, I think that's when we tied Crystal Palace and tied Fulham as well, beginning of the season. It never goes exactly how you think it's going to go. And right now, it seems like it's going to be an absolute drubbing. No Fernandez. Harry Maguire just got injured. I think Luke Shaw is also injured. I'm not sure. He's not on the report, but I know he went out the game. Yeah. Casemiro's out. Martinez obviously still out long term. I don't know what that back line is going to look like. That midfield is going to be McTominay, Amrabat, and, you know, Mainoo probably, who I like a lot, actually. And then up top, it doesn't matter. You know, I don't think they're going to be seeing the ball a ton. It feels like it's going to just be like a 5-7-0 win. Okay. Yeah. I guarantee you it won't be. I guarantee it'll be closer than you think it will. If it's not, great. The one stat that I was alluding to earlier, Andre Onana, okay, their new goalkeeper, they got rid of De Gea for, can play with his feet. Great. Awesome. I know we love that too, with Ederson probably being the best at it, Alisson being okay with some shaky moments sometimes. 39 goals allowed in 24 appearances. I know that's across the EFL Cup, that's across the Prem, that's across the Champions League. So like 1.7 goals a game, like rounding. That is the only thing that I'm sitting there going, De Gea could pull out a performance any game and hold you to one. You know, if he's getting clubbed, I don't think Onana has that ability. That is the only part where I'm saying, if we get a ton of shots off, he's going to let, you know, he's going to let 4 or 5 go by him. And they're also in such a bad position right now. Like, nobody wants to play this game if you're a United player.
Yeah. Since 2020, you guys on aggregate with United have outscored them 23-3. And there's only one draw and one United win in there. I think between 7 games or so. It's kind of insane, though,
because they beat us in the FA Cup.
Yeah, as I said, just the Premier League. And then you guys, gotcha. they also have a 4-0 victory in a friendly against you guys. I think that I said on the pod, and then I quickly corrected myself. I was like, always a tough game, always a close game. Absolutely not. I think the fact that Bruno's not in there is one of those things where it makes it really hard for them in the first half. But I do think part of Bruno's problem and part of United's problem is, as much as he's a net positive skill-wise in that first half, if you guys go up 1-0 or lo and behold 2-0 in the first half, he becomes a net negative in the second half. I think he's an energy suck. Truly. I think he's a vampire. In the second half, especially if things aren't not going the right way, which is odd that he's a captain. You guys have him a tip out for the season. Jota's unknown for this game. Has Thiago ever really
McAllister's out for sure.
And then Rabo as well. He's not going to be back till Febs. But I just think that, like, the front line, as much as the front line does not matter for United in this game, I think the front line is so important for you guys that it's so much better than them. And their defense is so like just decimated, that yeah, I agree. I think I could see four. And if we do see four, let's get into the last point here and maybe the most important thing, because you texted it to the group today. If we see a crooked number, are we really expecting Erik ten Hag to be shown the pink slip?
Okay, so as you've said, I'm the on the internet chronically guy. There are some outlets that are saying that they're already kind of looking for the options for a new manager. I personally, all banter aside, I think that there are just some players on that team that don't need to be there anymore. I think you have to make some, you know, on paper, some really tough decisions, but I think chemistry wise, it's not a tough decision. Fernandez, I think is as good as he is horrible at times. I know I said it last pod, but I'll increase my odds of getting it clipped. I think he got the yellow on purpose so he didn't have to play in this game. I think Rashford is, he needs a change of scenery, obviously. I don't think firing Ten Hag is the best thing long term, but I do think that they need to suffer before they're going to be any better. And I do think that that's essentially what they're going to have to do with him. And I think that would be the best option. I don't know who you go get, but I do think if it's like 4-5, 6-0, I think it's imminent. It might not be right after this game, but it'll be soon after.
I think it's weird. It's like not the right move, but it's the only form of action they can take. You know what I mean? Like you can't just like cut everyone on the team. The only form of action they can take is getting rid of a manager. I do also think it's funny to think back to time when we're talking to Nick. Can you imagine, what was it, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, that there's probably a world where he sits down at the kitchen table with his cup of coffee in his new coffee mug that we bought him this summer and misses Ralf Rangnick? I think that's an actual thing.
Well, I know I said like so long ago that these, if you just strip away the numbers and the players like faces and whatever, and it's just people running around the pitch, I don't think you could tell the difference between an Ole team, a Rangnick team, and a Ten Hag team. And again, I think that is because I am all for player power. I think that players in general across all sports get abused a lot and taken advantage of and don't get what they actually should get. So it doesn't fill me with any amount of joy saying this, but I do think that when you have all these managers come in and it is the same headlines you're getting all the time, the players don't want to run, the players don't want to do this. I think I saw one today where they're like, he just takes his Ten Hag takes his frustration out on the players and they don't like that or whatever. I think when you start to see a consistent pattern, then I think you've identified the problem. And I think that not all of them, but some of the players are the problem. And I just think that they're on too much money. They're on ridiculous wages on contracts and stuff they can't get rid of. So then he is stuck with them. And I do think there's a part of that is true. But you cannot tell me that you should lose 3-0 at home to Bournemouth, or you should lose to Crystal Palace after you beat them in the cup at home. There are things that are just undeniably the manager. And I don't know how you reconcile that with, do we fire him? Do we keep him? How we get rid of these players that we want to get rid of, et cetera.
Yeah. I don't think you're wrong. Scoreline prediction, key player of the game. Who you got?
I think Gakpo, key player of the game. I don't think we start Nunez for this one. I think they're going to kind of bunker down a little bit. And I like the idea of Gakpo kind of playing that Firmino role a little bit more. That being said, I think Darwin and Salah are like a great combo that Salah always seems to show up. But apart from Salah, I think Gakpo's big, and I can't see them scoring. I know they will now that I said that, but I'll just go 3-0, I think is what it'll be. And I think it will be late goals. I think early on, it'll be kind of hesitant, I don't know what the right word is that they use. Like it'll be hard to differentiate. It'll be, you know, won't be an exciting game, but I think 40th minute on, I think we'll start to rev it up and I think we'll get three.
It'll be stalled out a bit probably in the beginning of each team filling each other out. All right, I got 3-0, and because my football manager career has taken me to the CONCACAF and to CONMEBOL, and because we got Copa America coming up, and I've been paying more attention to who's good down in those southern countries that we got here on the Western Hemisphere, give me Luis Diaz. Give me 2 goals from Luis Diaz, a 3-0 win. Just crafty goals too, like ones that aren't going to always be on the biggest highlight reel, but he's going to be in the right place, the right time, just slotted in the bottom corners. Get some goals there. We're both big on Liverpool on this one, which probably scares Michael. Nick just playing with house money at this point, man. You know?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems so incredibly not in their favor that it's like almost like it can't be as bad as everyone thinks it's going to be. Which is why I'm scared the most. Like, if it was a little more even, I would be a little more confident.
Yeah, totally get it. All right, that is our recap. Let's get into the predictions with the rest of the guys. All right, prediction time. Let's get everyone an update as where we sit. Michael, I think everyone went 5-5, except for...
Dylan.
First dip below 500. We'll go bottom up. Dylan, 78 and 82. I am in third, 87 and 73. Nick is in second at 88 and 72. Michael, leading the pack, 32 games over 500, 96 and 64. Honestly, that's pretty astounding, and you know how much I don't like to give you a compliment every once in a while, but insane. Guys, we're hoping to go all 10-0 this week. These games, I feel like, are a little bit easier. The last 2 weeks, I think the predicting has been tough. No?
No, I'm just saying, why'd you say they're going to be easier?
Yeah, nah, I'll be honest. I feel great about this week, which is not a great feeling.
Yeah. I mean, we salvaged Sunday because it could have been a Titanic week.
It could have been so bad.
Yeah,
it could have been so bad.
Very true. Very true. We'll start off with one that actually probably isn't that easy. Forrest, who stinks, but then also gets draws every once in a while. They're gonna host Tottenham. Dylan, lead us off here. Who do you got in this one?
The coach getting fired and Matt Turner back bump already basically happened, so I'm gonna take Spurs.
Michael?
I also have Spurs. I just think Forrest not good enough scoring goals. Spurs will just outscore him.
Nick?
I'm nervously taking Spurs because Son is out now.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh,
you're already locked in, though. Can't change it. Sorry, house rules.
That's all right. I'll keep it. Richarlison's back. He's back to his best.
Yeah. So I think it'll be a little bit of a battle. But I think Spurs walk away with this one.
Yeah, I got Spurs too. Michael, you're going to lead this one off because it's our good friend, the Fighting Craigs, who are on an absolute tear right now. They're hosting Luton. It's not at Luton, which is a good thing, but who do you got?
Give me the Craigs, baby. They're on an absolute tear, Buzzsaw City.
Love it. Nick?
Can they validate a big win at last week? An emphatic win? Yes, they can. They will beat Luton.
Dylan?
I'll be taking Bournemouth.
I'm taking Bournemouth, too. I was waiting for there to be, like, a parking joke about validation or something, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Chelsea, they're hosting Sheffield. Nick, lead us off on this one.
Oh, I really want to do it, but I'm not. I'm gonna take the little Cubs, the Chelsea Cubs, because they're not the Lions anymore.
I like that. The Lion Cub Chelsea's. I got Chelsea as well. Dylan, who you got?
I'll take Chelsea.
Michael?
Chelsea.
City is hosting Palace. This has been a bogey team in the past for us. We don't look good still. Gotta go City though. Dylan?
I'm going with City. I think you guys looked better than you're giving yourself credit for in Luton.
Kenilworth Road was a dude of the week last pod. So, yeah. Michael?
I got City just because I don't think Palace are very good.
Michael did not think we looked better than we actually did. I know that face. Nick?
Rapid fire question, yes or no. I'm taking City. If City wins, does Roy get the pink slip? Does he get the sack?
No.
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 I think not the game is to win.
Yeah, dude, I think we could do a whole pod on this. We're luckily, none of us here, children of divorce. I think this is going to be a messy divorce.
They have a very favorable run post-Christmas, so...
Yeah.
Just they're gonna try to let him take the bullet and then bring someone new in.
They're going to try to stay together for the kids, Elise and Eze. It's going to be messy.
He's going to take a bullet?
Take the bullet.
No, buddy. No one gets hurt on this podcast. We've said this many times. Newcastle. Newcastle's hosting Fulham. Fulham 10 goals in the last two games. Newcastle absolutely exhausted, which is a point we didn't get to make last pod. Dylan, who you got in this one?
I actually think Fulham might do some damage here for that exact reason. But at this point, they're my new Crystal Palace for this year, where I have a complete vendetta against them. So I will be taking Newcastle.
Michael?
I'm just checking. They play AC Milan. Newcastle play AC Milan on Wednesday. I think this game is a Saturday game. That is really concerning. They're not getting anybody back. I'm going to fucking do it. I'm going to go Fulham.
Wow, not even a draw? You're going straight Fulham.
Wow.
Give me the Cottagers.
Even Nick? Even at St. James's Park? I forgot about the name of the
You're good. They validate parking there too.
Beautiful, good.
I'm gonna go Newcastle. I'm sorry. I'm being a dick.
Because I'm gonna park them in the W section there. Newcastle to win. That was terrible. Just move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I got Newcastle too. We need to get to the next game.
You're trying too hard.
Yeah, I know, man. I agree.
Burnley, they're hosting Everton. Talk about a buzzsaw. Everton a wagon, as the Hoboken boys would say. Michael, who you got in this one?
I got Everton. Did you almost call me Brandon?
Yeah, that was bad. Nick?
Yeah, Everton away. Much better than Everton home. And we're going Everton.
Dylan?
Come on, you Blues.
Yeah, I got the Toffees as well. The Trossard Derby, Arsenal versus Brighton. Nick, who you got in this one? At Arsenal.
Gooners.
I got Gooners as well. Dylan?
The Arteta speech about guacamole will lead them to victory in his return back to the bench. Give me Arsenal.
Bring it back. Michael, who you got?
I got Arsenal. This is going to look like... With how Brighton give up chances, this is going to look like Arsenal back at their best. Don't be fooled.
I like that. I like that analysis. Brentford hosting Villa. Look, I don't think Brentford's very good. I do think Villa's getting a little tired, though. They still have a midweek game. But I got to go with Villa. Michael, who you got?
Motherfucker, you always ask me when I'm looking at something. I think this is a worrisome game. I think this is as Nick would say, a validation game. If they can pull this off on the road, I think this is big for them because it's a game they should win if they want to compete in the title. I got Villa to win this one.
Dylan?
Villa.
Nick?
Could have said it better, Michael, myself. Villa.
West Ham Wolves just rolls off the tongue. It's at West Ham, Dylan.
Give me the bubbles.
All right, I got Wolves. I think West Ham stink right now. Nick, who you got?
Disagree.
Go Wolves, baby.
Michael.
I got a draw.
All right, and then the geopolitical derby: Liverpool versus Man United between Michael and Nick here. It's at Liverpool. It's at Anfield. I just opened up my phone real quick. We didn't talk about this. We're not going to talk about it right now, but I don't think any of us think Ten Hag's going to get fired if they lose, but I did see a couple headlines that that may be the case. I don't think it's true. Michael, who you got in this one? It's at Anfield. I'll let you go first.
Liverpool.
Nick, do I want to ask?
No, you can assume my answer.
All right, Nick's got Liverpool. Dylan?
Manchester United.
Liverpool.
Yeah, I got Liverpool too. Game's always close though, sometimes. Not always, actually. Yikes.
What?
Yeah, sorry about that. Dylan, any bets?
Got a few. I realize, let's go with, back to my roots. I think Bournemouth-Luton Town is going to be played very much in the middle of this game. So we're going to take under 10.5 corners at minus 115 to get us going. And then the other two are probably traps, but I think they're playing very well. So I'm going to fall into them and take them anyway. And that will be taking Villa to win at, there it is, plus 110. And I will be taking the Toffees to win at plus 115. Keeping it nice and simple. I could have made a parlay because everyone else is basically minus 200. I just didn't feel like doing it. But if you like the favorites, you can put four or five of those together too.
Love it. First week back, we had the midweek games last week. It's going to get back on a normal schedule now. I think that we can start doing the podlay again now that we're going to get back to normal. And that'll be fun. Dylan, get us out of here with a joke. You get 3 minutes to spare.
So what did the VAR ref get for Christmas?
Glasses.
Cole! Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.